Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the International Bar Association's Inspirational Legal Women podcast to celebrate some of our incredible members, their achievements and careers in the legal profession. I'm here today with Adeola Somola, who is a partner at Nigerian law firm Udo Udoma and Bello Asagi. Her areas of practice include lending, non-interest finance, debt restructuring, financing for power, manufacturing, and infrastructure. She's also involved in project development and finance and anti-corruption compliance and investigations. Adeola is an officer with the IBA's Women Lawyers Committee. It's a pleasure to be able to speak with you today, Adeola. We're here today to talk about your work as a successful corporate lawyer, some of the challenges and experiences you have had in your career, and any advice you may have for women entering or navigating their own career in law, as well as your life outside of work and commitment to gender diversity in the profession. Welcome, Adeola.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So we're going to start with what motivated you to pursue a career in law, and how did you decide what type of law was of most interest?
To be honest, I kind of stumbled into law by accident. I originally wanted to study accounting, but my math grade wasn't quite high enough to get into the program. So rather than sit out a year to retake the relevant examinations at the time, I decided to go ahead and study law. And it turned out to be one of the best decisions that I've made in my life. I think that what I love most about law is how it opens your mind. There's a level of analytical thinking that's involved in the work that we do, where you're constantly learning and you're engaging with new ideas. I really like that about the practice of law. Over time, I found myself drawn to finance and project work in particular. And I really enjoy these transactions because I see the real world impact. Whether it's a new service that's being launched or an infrastructure that's being built, knowing that the legal support that I provide on these transactions help make it happen is quite motivating for me.
Great tale there about how you landed in this career and perhaps how different pathways can take you down the most unexpected but, you know, positive life ventures in a way we can't predict.
When I started as a lawyer about 20 years ago, we tended to be generalists before I now, you know, sort of narrowed down my specializations into a few core practice areas. But I really liked that I started out doing a lot of things because it's given me knowledge about many things. So from that experience, I'm able to, for example, advise on basic employment law issues. I'm able to advise on corporate law issues. And I'm not a labor or employment lawyer. But it's because of the experience that I gathered at that time, at the start of my career, that has really helped me. But I've now, you know, sort of narrowed down my specializations to finance and projects and energy. And those specializations take the core of my practice.
Thanks for those insights. And I think probably very helpful for some of our younger listeners who may be wondering what area of law to end up in. It's a good reminder that no any one area of law is siloed from the rest, and that starting out with a variety can actually be of great assistance when you do go on to specialize later in your career. How do you balance the demands of a high-pressure, successful career with personal and family responsibilities? And are there any strategies or habits that have been particularly helpful for yourself that you would like to share?
Balance is something that I think we're all constantly working on, especially in a career like law, where the demands can be intense, work can be unpredictable. Sometimes at the start of a week, my calendar is decent, if I may use that word. But by Monday, my calendar is so busy and I have so many meetings and I have so much to do that I begin to wonder, was I really about to start a slow week? So yeah, it can be unpredictable. For me, it's really about being intentional and managing my time as thoughtfully as possible. I've had to become quite good at prioritizing, focusing on what truly moves the needle, and making sure that critical tasks get done first. Delegation is also a big part of how I manage things. I encourage my team members to step up, to take ownership of transactions, and to lead where they can. This is good not just for me, but also for them, because it helps them develop both intellectually and in other areas. And it gives me room to focus on where I'm most needed. Having said that, I think that I prefer to think about balance more as integration. I try to give space to the different areas of my life, faith, family, work, health, and friendships. And I also accept that not everything can get 100% of me at the same time. It's just not realistic. What's important is being mindful about where my energy is going and making sure that I'm not completely neglecting any one area. One thing that has certainly helped me a lot is learning to ask for help, and on the domestic front, paying for help when I can. At one point in time, I had multiple domestic staff helping me on the home front, which is quite common in Nigeria. But as my kids have grown older, I've scaled that back a little bit to encourage their independence and to help them take on more responsibility. I've also learned to schedule personal time just the same way I schedule my meetings. My spa appointments go into my calendar. But yes, my spa appointments go into my calendar now. So do our family vacations and even my kids' activities. Because there's really a lot to do. There are piano classes, swimming, sports, and coaching sessions. All of these activities go into my calendar so that I'm able to block out the time. And blocking out that time helps, you know, to create more structure and flexibility and keep me organized. But I think that one of the most important things that I will certainly tell young female lawyers that are close to me is, you know, to if they are not yet married and if they are looking to get married, is to consider that a future spouse as somebody that can really support their career objectives. I've been lucky. And grateful for my husband, who's incredibly supportive and has always championed my career. I truly don't think I'll be where I am without that kind of partnership and encouragement.
Excellent. Thanks very much. And I think a good reminder that if we don't schedule or set aside this time for, you know, whether it's hobbies, family or friends outside of work, that, you know, that time can easily be given up to the demands of work, and a good reminder to also prioritize it for our own well-being.
Absolutely. We can't be having a conversation about balance without having a conversation about personal well-being. I think it's very important, and it's one of the lessons that I've learned over the past two decades. It's not a lesson that I learned early on in my career where it was too much work. But as I've grown older, I've learned that well-being is as important as other areas.
Now, I'm curious to know, what's been the biggest challenge or challenges you've faced in your career, and how did you navigate this challenge or challenges?
When I started my career, there weren't many female lawyers doing energy work, at least not visibly. My practice spans both finance and energy. And while I saw a fair number of women that were involved in finance transactions, it was a very different picture in the energy space. Most of the time, especially at cross-border negotiations, whether in Nigeria or abroad, I would walk into rooms filled almost entirely with men. Oftentimes, I was the only woman. It made me wonder, why weren't more women drawn to this area of practice? And why was it so difficult to find female mentors in the energy field? over time, I've come to believe that it might partly be due to how complex and technical the work is. I mean, energy work. Let's be honest, reading and negotiating a 200-page power purchase agreement or a concession agreement isn't exactly appealing to everyone. But I found that I enjoyed the challenge and I wanted to carve a space for myself in that field. There's definitely been progress since those early days. I've been practicing for about 20 years now. And I'm certainly seeing more women enter the energy space and take on leadership roles across the profession. But there's still a lot of room for improvement. That's why I'm passionate about mentoring younger female lawyers. I try to encourage them not to shy away from energy work just because it's demanding or complex. I want them to see that it's possible to thrive in this space and that there is value in mastering the complexity. More generally, the legal profession has historically been male-dominated, and building a career, especially in a niche area like energy, came with its fair share of challenges. But things are changing. Nigeria today, we're seeing more women not just entering the profession, but also rising to leadership. The current Chief Justice of Nigeria is a woman. At my firm, both the managing partner and the deputy managing partner are women. We also have a leadership team that comprises the majority of women and a few men. One of my partners is also the chair of the Nigerian Bar Association section on business law. I think that all of these shows encouragement, and I'm hopeful about the direction we're heading as a profession.
Thanks, Adeola. And that leads me neatly into my next question for you. What strategies have you used or perhaps continue to use to establish your own credibility within what remains a male-dominated profession or perhaps sector of the law in terms of energy law?
Yes, in sectors such as energy, I've learned that the most effective way to establish credibility is through consistency and performance. Delivering excellent results and demonstrating deep subject matter expertise has been foundational to building trust and respect in the rooms that I walk into. Confidence in my skills and knowledge has also been key. There have been many times where I start a transaction with a male colleague. And this was years ago, actually. I would start a transaction with a male colleague and the client would be more inclined to defer to that male colleague. I see that is now changing. In those early days, that was quite prevalent, where, you know, the work is starting with both myself and the client would like to have the male colleague attend all meetings, and I attend a lot of calls. But I work in a firm where we take gender parity very seriously. In those circumstances, in the past, my male colleagues were very clear to the relevant clients that I was leading, even if they were starting the commencement of the engagement with me. Those experiences were helpful in building confidence. Mentorship has also played an important role. I've been fortunate to learn from experienced and seasoned industry leaders and the insights they provided while I was coming up have helped to shape my professional presence. I've also found the leadership roles that I take on within professional bodies, such as the International Bar Association and the Cyrus Vance Center's Women in the Profession initiative to be helpful to increase, you know, my visibility and influence. Recognition from industry rankings has also been helpful, as well as public speaking engagement.
Thanks for those insights, Adeola. Now, with your work, it encompasses many cross-border matters and transactions. So I'd like to hear how you adapt in your work to different legal systems and cultural expectations, and perhaps any tips you can share with listeners on that front.
Working across borders, especially in developing countries, that taught me to be adaptable, not just legally, but culturally as well. I advise on energy, infrastructure, and finance projects that often involve different legal systems and regulatory landscapes. While it's true that law is local and territorial, business is universal, as you know. So part of succeeding in cross-border work is about understanding the local legal context while balancing commercial and international aspects of every deal. A big part of how I navigate this is by investing in relationships. I'm fortunate to know lawyers across the globe, and I'm also fortunate to work in a firm that is part of a network where we can reach out to lawyers across different jurisdictions. Personally, I make a conscious effort to build and maintain a strong network of lawyers in different jurisdictions, because we are as good as our network, they say, right? These networks have been incredibly helpful when working on transactions with foreign law elements or navigating regulatory differences. There are times when I pick up the phone and call lawyers in other countries and ask them questions about the practice in relation to a particular subject matter in their jurisdiction, because that helps to also compare with what we're doing in Nigeria and see how or whether we need to improve or whether there are any lessons we can take from what's been done in those other jurisdictions. Doing all of these allowed me to bring local insights into global conversations, which is critical to cross-border work.
Those are very useful insights and a good reminder about the importance of our networks, both from a business and personal support position. Finally, what's the best piece of advice you'd give to someone aspiring to succeed in the law, particularly as a woman?
There's so much I could share. But one thing that I reflected on, especially during a recent milestone at my firm, is that success is often built in the quiet, behind-the-scenes moments. It's not just about big celebrations or the public recognition of deals. I mean, those are great, but what truly matters is the work that you put in when no one's watching. When you are refining your skills, learning the ropes, and building a solid foundation. I often say that the elevator to success is out of service, and you should take the stairs. Even when progress feels slow, with consistency, discipline, and focus, it all adds up in the long run. Another thing that I've learned in the course of my career is that not everyone will understand your why, especially when you're just starting out as a young lawyer. But you have to stay focused and committed. It's just a matter of time. In time, the results will speak. Also, greatness isn't always about grand gestures. It's often about the small, consistent things that we do every day. We've spoken about balance previously, and I think it's a subject that we need to talk about a lot, because our time and resources are always competing, right? Having said that, balance is possible. It's not easy. It's not supposed to be easy. to live an incredible life, it's not going to be easy, but you can build a career, raise a family, and nurture personal interests. It just takes clear priorities and a strong support system. Another thing that I would like to leave with your listeners is that while technical skills are essential, relationships matter just as much. Building strong networks can open doors and create opportunities that you didn't even know existed. In fact, your network will often advocate for you in rooms that you're not even in.
Thank you very much. Those are excellent and extremely sage pieces of advice, and I'm sure they'll be of great use to our listeners. So thank you, Adeola, and thank you very much again for your time on the podcast today. We very much appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.